and Beth Stelling and her mom Diane are talking to famous moms about the stories only a mother would know on We Called Your Mom, available now wherever podcasts are found. For more, follow at Earwolf on social media. Happy listening.
Hey everyone, this is Paul Scheer from How Did This Get Made, and I just wanted to remind you that you can find all of How Did This Get Made's archive and ad-free episodes on Stitcher Premium. For a free one-month trial of Stitcher Premium and access to a ton of great content, just go to stitcherpremium.com and use the code BONKERS. That's BONKERS, that's the code, for a one-month free trial of Stitcher Premium. Do it.
We're back. I'm Drew McGarry.
And I'm David Roth.
And coming in September 2020, a new site we have built together called
Defector,
and we're gonna have a new podcast to go with it. This very podcast, which has the name
The Distraction.
It's out right now, and it's available everywhere else you get your podcast at Stitcher, Spotify, Apple. Go listen right now to The Distraction everywhere. It's out right now. Go listen. See ya.
Bye.
If I know one rule about hacking, it has to be, don't hack while hard. We saw Sardfish, so you know what that means.
High Plains Comedy Festival at the Paramount Theater in Denver, Colorado, and we are so excited to be here with you, people from Colorado and people from far away. I know a lot of people have come from different places. Who here is from not centrally located areas? It's a lot. We're going to give you a good show because Sardfish. Whoa. Whoa, 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 whoa. I will say this. I own this on DVD. I was like, this movie is cool. I have not watched it for many years. And when I was flying here today, I was laughing out loud on the plane, like cackling. So I cannot wait to get into this movie, which is really, in many ways, a prequel to the X-Men. Because, I mean, almost every one of them is in it. Patrick Stewart as a background performer in the very end. I can't talk about this movie by myself. I have to talk about it with my amazing co-host. Please welcome to the stage, Mr. Jason Mantzoukas!
What's up, jerks? How we do in Denver? Second show. Late show. Yeah. All right. Looking good. I like this town. I like this town. Having trouble sleeping, can barely breathe. Find myself gasping for breath a lot.
It's very difficult for me when I go up to the balcony. I need to take a break at multiple points.
Oh, no. It's pretty nuts.
Yeah.
I also didn't take a shit for like 2 days. Is that an altitude thing or my diet? Not sure. But I'm going to blame you fuckos.
I always think it's hotel shyness. That's what I always chalk it up to.
Hotel shyness? You get shy to shit in a hotel?
I feel like I have to wait about a day before I can, like...
I recently had to call downstairs to get a plunger at a hotel because I had, like, aggressively clogged the toilet. And the guy that came was like, I was like, listen, dude, you can give me the plunger. And he goes, oh, no, I'll do it, And I was like, I really don't want you to have to. He's like, no, I got this. I got this. And he goes, he did, came, went in and did it. And then he's leaving and he goes, big fan, man, big fan. I was like,
no.
And then he licked the plunger.
I'm selling this on eBay. Jason Swordfish.
Oh, boy. Yowza Magowza. This was not fun to watch. I'm going to cut straight to the end. Yeah. I would not recommend you watch this movie.
Right.
I'm going to jump straight in and say, I would not recommend this movie.
So already we're at odds because I found this to be an entertaining romp.
I kept being like, is something wrong with the TV? Do I need to adjust but I did. You know what I did need to adjust constantly? The volume.
It is Christopher Nolan done wrong, right?
I was like, this is seizure inducing.
Yes, the movie is shot with an Instagram filter. It's fine.
The whole movie is so saturated in red and green that I was like, is this a Christmas movie?
Well, you know, there's one person who loves action movies more than either one of us. And she's going to have a lot to say tonight. Please welcome June Diane Raphael. Welcome, June.
Hi, Paul. How are you?
Good.
So, it's funny you said that about the saturation. I watched this movie on my computer just hours
ago. Hey, wow, you have a computer? That's so cool.
I have one, and then Paul has a separate one.
Whoa!
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
And sometimes we put them together and play the same thing, and it looks for our left eye and our right eye.
So, it wasn't until about 50 minutes in that I realized the brightness was on just like the first knob. So because it was so weirdly saturated, I just thought, oh, this is a choice that I can't see it. I can't see this film. It was so dark. Yeah. Turns out it wasn't quite as dark as I thought.
Well, June, this is interesting that this happened because one of the first movies we ever watched
primary
together.
Primary Colors.
Oh, no, it was Manchurian Candidate.
One
of the first movies I ever watched was in a hotel that had a DVD player, and we watched Manchurian Candidate, but the contrast was turned down so dark that we couldn't see it, and we kept on justifying why it was so dark. Like, a cool choice, this director. Like, you can barely see who's in the scene. We watched the entire movie.
And because neither one of you wanted to be like, I think something might be wrong.
I think we were really giving it like the benefit of the doubt, because it's like, when do you ever go like, I need to adjust the contrast on my TV? Like,
constantly.
Just... Yeah, we watched the entire Manchurian Candidate, like, cool, edgy, very edgy, barely can see, can hear voices.
I'm only just now seeing that.
We are surrounded by giant wallpaper of Travolta, Halle Berry, and a young hacker named Hugh Jackman. This movie, I think is so trying to be cool like Quentin Tarantino through the filter of Joel Silver, which is like, you know, it's because Joel Silver did produce it, but it's like, we're going to open this movie with a monologue about how Hollywood sucks. We could do Kevin Smith too, motherfucker. Like, I feel
but
like that
a,
was...
But on a big budget, and the monologue is going to end with a Matrix explosion. Like, a bullet time, but better than the Matrix. Because it's going to go through the whole scene, and you're going to go in, and it was... That opening monologue was... I was like, oh, no! Is this the movie?
Well, that opening shot... used 203 synchronized still cameras, and it's the most complicated effect in Warner Brothers history.
For that?
For yes. what? To what end?
It cost $90,000.
Just that shot, explosion.
And it took 2 days to shoot. And in the screenplay, all that was written was, the SWAT guys dragged the hostage away, and kaboom.
All I want in life is to be writing a script and to unironically put the word kaboom and be like, Zooks, you did it again. Print and send to Hollywood, kaboom.
What made me so angry is that when the kaboom happened, I thought throughout the rest of the movie, like, that woman who went kaboom is going to come back in some way. Like, there was
in pieces. She's gonna come back.
Yeah, but I know we were.
I'm playing.
Like, there she is, going all the way through.
But I figured she's gonna be a character that's introduced.
Sure.
There was so much put on her and saving her.
Yes, that we're gonna build up to why we care about her dying.
Never do.
Nope.
Never do.
Well, I mean, the movie does have some timeline problems.
Oh, when they cut to 4 days earlier, I was like, fuck. Can you rewind, Paul? Is that just this, or is that the movie? Or is it just that scene? Is this just the explosion?
Oh, it's just a scene, yeah.
Oh, okay. I wanted to... we don't have Travolta. Okay. Travolta in the opening monologue...
Oh, I have that whole monologue.
Oh, great.
Oh, please, no. Please,
we
no.
We don't have to...
No. Why do we have to watch it?
We don't have to watch the whole thing, but there's something I really want to talk about.
I have the thing... Okay, great. So the movie opens up with, like, grainy video footage, which you don't understand. Later on in the movie, when you do understand what's going on, this grainy footage makes no sense. It's not like, oh, I get it now. It was just simply a stylistic choice. All right, here we go.
You know the problem with Hollywood is? They make shit. Unbelievable, unremarkable shit.
Is this a warning to us before we watch the movie? Like, he's saying to you, foreshadowing assholes.
Yeah.
This is not one of those things.
And don't they think that people, every review will be like, here's a quote from the first line of the movie, and guess what? You did it again, Hollywood. Like, you're just giving them ammunition.
All right, here we go.
I'm not some...
Oh, and before we go on, if you've not seen this movie, picture John Travolta with a goatee that... I wouldn't even know how to describe it.
It's not a goatee, first of all.
No, it's not
a goatee.
It's a line. It's a line of hair.
Soul patch.
Like a soul patch.
It's also not a soul patch.
It's connected to the beard. It is a straight line underneath the centered under his bottom lip.
It literally makes me ill.
You know what it's like? It's like he's drooling something dark. It's like he's drooling something dark straight out the front of his mouth. That's his facial hair choice. Every day he shaves it into this, and he's like, fucking nailed it.
I want to talk about how he decided that. Did he have a full beard and shave it down to the strip, or did he just never shave on either side of that and let it grow in full?
Also, I could talk about his hair in this movie for hours, both at the beginning and at the end when it's frosted tips. I'm like, but let's play a little bit further. There's just one thing I want to talk about here that happens.
Do you want to be a filmmaker that's searching for existentialism through a haze of bong smoke or something? No, it's easy to pick apart bad acting, short-sighted directing,
forward a little
and
bit
a purely maybe? Moronic stringing together of words that many of the studios term as prose.
Okay.
Yeah. How wide is his tie? His tie is conservatively 8 inches wide. Was that ever in fashion? Did we ever wear ties like that? What's happening with that tie?
I had a question about this too, because I had a question about his collar. I was like, when did we ever make a collar that is eating the tie?
Also, why does he hold his cigars like this? What's going on there?
I am also led to believe after the reveal of this scene that he in the bomb device that he's carrying in his hand that looks like brass knuckles, he also installed a cigar-like chopper.
No.
So, yes, because he chops a cigar in something, but I think that's the bomb device, too. So he was like, you know what? I probably will have a moment where I'm going to want to light a cigar when I'm holding somebody hostage.
Hold, like this, strangely. Like a pipe. He holds a cigar like a pipe. Not even like a pipe. I don't know what it's like. Yeah.
See, these are some of the details I couldn't see at the brightness level I watched this film at.
The wideness, I was beside myself when I saw how wide his tie was.
And I was beside myself when I looked at that fucking collar. All right, here we go, people.
Hostages right away.
And it's not in
focus. No mercy, no quarter. Meet our demands are the pretty blonde and the bell bottoms gets it in the back of the head. Bam, splat. What, still no bus?
The only thing in focus is the labels on the liquor behind them currently. Like, it's wild choices. And now tea. Oh, it's a coffee shop. Who cares?
From splattered across the window, what'd it take to have the city reverse its policy on hostage situations? And this is 1976. There's no CNN. There's no CNBC. There's no internet. Now, fast forward to today. Present time. Same situation. How quickly would the modern media make a
Well, I do have an issue with this. The whole opening monologue, which you heard a little bit of, is about Dog Day Afternoon. And he's like, this movie is playing into all the Hollywood tropes. Why couldn't they get away with it? Why couldn't they do it? And I'm like, because it's based on a true story? Like, if you're going to be, like, ripping apart the inconsistencies, why couldn't he have gotten away? Why didn't he kill the hostages? Because it didn't happen. Like, you couldn't...
Why can't he live happily ever after with his boyfriend after his boyfriend gets the sex change operation? Because that's not what actually happened.
That's not the story. Yeah, this is based on a true story.
I'm going to blow your mind right now.
Yeah.
This is also based on a true story. This whole movie actually happened. They are suppressing that information. They don't want us to know. Crisis actors.
But can't you just, like... Can we just agree that how fucking lazy? You could pick any movie, and they pick the one that's based on a real thing. Like, you're talking about how Hollywood is lame and out of ideas. It's like, oh my gosh, Dunkirk. And they just rescued those people from the water? Nice try, but I don't like happy endings. Saving Private Ryan, and they just all happen to be on the beach with the weapons? Weird.
My question is, what this scene that we see right now, when does it happen, though, in the course of the movie?
Right before the woman blows up.
Right.
But don't ever go back to this scene.
No, and we go back to the events right after this scene where the woman blows up.
But you go back to when they first go into the bank, and there never is a moment where he's like, hold, please. Let's run across the street.
Yeah.
Like,
you never see them take him out of the bank and go and have this.
That's what I'm saying, because he's already in the bank beforehand.
What?
Because I guess here's my question. Why do they go talk to the FBI randomly?
Oh, I'm assuming to make clear whatever. Doesn't he say, don't fuck with us, blah, blah, blah. Well, I'm assuming it's like to waste time to put dog collars on all the people that work at the bank. I don't know.
Okay, just one word about the hostages. Now, every once in a while, like usually I feel like with extras, if they're doing their jobs, you never notice them. It's when something's very off that your eyes like just fall on them. Those hostages, when they were all sitting together in those lines, they didn't make a movement, they didn't make a sound. When they got in the bus together, they were the most, it was as though like another day
at World Bank.
There was no sense of just like struggle or anyone crying or just duress. It was like, here we go, guys. Everybody, are we all strapped to our bombs? Let's head out there.
They were so good at being background performers for that they forgot to act. It was like, so today, I'm sorry, guys. You're going to have to wear this thing around your neck. I'm going to put you on a bus, and it's going to be hot. And they're like, okay, great. No, we'll do it. We'll do it. Action.
They were... We'll wait.
Should I be noticing that there's a bomb on me, or do you think I don't notice there's a bomb on me?
It's so...
Is this a local bus or express? Just for my character.
Okay, so the bus is now being picked up by a helicopter? Okay.
Cool. And so my reaction should just be like, okay.
Yeah, I'm pretty cool with it though, right? I mean, because...
When the bus gets picked up by a helicopter, I was like, okay, movie, I'm interested. For the first time, I'm interested in what you're doing. I don't mind this move at all. And when the guy has to go and be like, well, sir, they're not on First Street anymore. Okay, where are they? Well, they've moved over to there. Okay, well, let's go over there. Nope, they're not there now either. Where are they? They're airborne.
They really
milked that, by the way. It took him 10 questions.
Like, you know what? If you're at the FBI, you know what? Hey. You know the guy that just blew up 3 city blocks? You're not going to believe this. A fucking helicopter just picked the bus up off the street. Bus, I'm not kidding. This shit is happening. You don't come in and be like, hey, you know that bus that was on First Street? Yeah, they're off First Street. They turned onto Spring. Oh, well, I guess we should go to... Oh, no, they're not going to LAX. Oh, okay, so then where should we meet them? Well, they're... airborne. Start there, bro. Start there.
By the way,
guess what? Time is of the essence.
Time is a ticking.
I mean, what would happen is you would literally go like, holy shit! Fucking helicopter came! Fucking picked up the bus! It's flying over the city! What the fuck? And then the other guy would be like, what? Where is it? They would all run to look at it and see a picture of it because it's insane.
Yeah. It's like you would at that point have to be like, boss, these guys might be smarter than us. Because you're not going to believe this. A helicopter has picked up the bus. Are all the hostages still on it? Yep. Are they all docile and cool? Totally.
Oh my God.
Holy shit, this movie. When Sam Shepard showed up, I was like, oh no.
Sometimes you gotta take a paycheck.
Is that your Sam Shepard impression?
Yeah.
It's very good.
Thank you. I thought it was Sam Elliott impression, but it works both ways.
I have a note in my thing that is, what's the sunglasses budget on this movie? People, every character has glasses available. Whether they are eyeglasses or sunglasses that they are constantly taking on and off. The only character who doesn't have either is the daughter who has both.
I wrote down, the daughter is wearing a fashion sense of 1960s meets old world immigrant. I was like, what's happening here? It's like if John Lennon got off at Ellis Island, that would be it.
She's wearing like a tinted lens. Or a progressive lens. Her mother is dead at the end of the movie. And she's like, where are we going, Dad? What?
I wrote down, this movie is quirky as fuck. Because nothing, if you really think about it, makes a lick of sense. From the first scene when you see Hugh Jackman, he's in a towel as if he just took a shower, but then he climbed to the top of his trailer to then hit some golf balls. Which is, okay, I guess, but it's a long way around to be like, drying off, hit some golf balls in my towel. Like,
I wrote, is he wearing a loincloth? Legitimately.
Yeah, no, and it's a good question, because it wasn't really a towel texture.
It didn't seem like it, and then I wrote, oh, maybe it's a towel, but I first thought this character's introduction was wearing a loincloth, and I kind of was like, okay, I'm curious. I'm curious about this as a character choice. Yeah, I think my guy would wear a loincloth. What do you mean? You know, like Tarzan. At home only, right? Yeah, at home only. You know, for around the house and hitting golf balls off the roof.
And he doesn't seem to be that good at it.
Nope.
Seems like he's got nothing else to do. Can't see his child. He should be hitting good golf balls.
Can't touch a computer.
Oh, my gosh.
By the way, can't even touch a computer.
Can't touch a computer.
Well, he's such a nerd. I mean, right?
Yeah.
Like, Hugh Jackman is, like, the quintessential nerd. So, like, when the one nerd goes, whoa, Halle Berry's way out of his league, I'm like, no, she ain't. They're both fucking gorgeous.
They are two of the most unequivocally beautiful people you could imagine. Like, they are both incredibly gorgeous. And in this movie, both of them are gorgeous, and they actually have the only chemistry in this movie that is at all interesting, I thought. You know?
I thought John Travolta had some good chemistry with Hugh Jackman.
There's the loincloth. I mean, what's up with this?
This is a movie, though, with
there's a fan. Why? I mean, outside.
He is built.
How often do you need a desk fan outdoors?
He is built like this Bobo cabana for himself. That's like tattered cloth. It's just making choices to make choices. It's like the set decoration here was like, whatever, sure. Like,
it also made me curious. Like, I know he wants to get Holly back, but what I wanted to know, what steps have you taken so far within the legal system to get your daughter back? Because right now, I see you hitting golf balls off your roof at noon in a towel.
And also, it genuinely seems as though she, the daughter, is in jeopardy.
It's the
just
strip
call
scene
child
scenario.
Protection services and tell them to go over
yes,
to that home.
But that's all it takes.
Yeah, there's literally porn shoots in her living room.
She's in actual danger.
Yeah. Yes.
So like it would make sense, I guess. He's not allowed to see her, and she's with the mother, and they're like, "We don't want to see you." Okay, it's Con Air.
But the
it's
judge, the judge is like, the mother goes, "Larry's her father now." And it's like, okay, and it has an issue that I always have with movies like this sometimes where it's like, he's a hacker, but then we find out he was actually hacking something that was bad to, Robin Hooding it, And then he gets 2 years in prison, but they treat him like, and then you cut off the girl's head and you drank her blood. Like, why is he being so, like,
villainized?
Villainized.
He's a bad guy.
Just a hacker who tried to Robin Hood something, like, it's not like he's a criminal,
Well, but they're trying to thread the needle of making him be part of the bad guys, but the hero of the movie, right?
Right.
So he's the hero that we're supposed to be rooting for, but he is a bad guy. So they're giving him all this bad guy backstory, but that doesn't jibe with either Hugh Jackman or, this is a character Nick Cage would play.
100%.
Well, here.
I know some of you may not be familiar with this, but there's a book that kind of took Hollywood by storm called Save the Cat, right? And in Save the Cat, the idea is that in every movie, your protagonist has to do something to show that they are a nice person. So you're on their side. They have a Save the Cat moment. And I would argue the Save the Cat moment here is when he pushes Halle Berry out of a door onto the ground. Boom! Like, what are we watching here? He pushes a woman out a door.
Simply because she asks about his daughter.
Boom.
And by the way, this doesn't justify it, but had they met before this encounter?
No.
This is their first introduction. Wow.
He pushed her out of an elevated door. And you're supposed to be like, cool, I like this guy.
I love that her name is Ginger, right?
Mm-hmm.
Da 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 da. Okay, we go through the whole thing, and we're talking about a cabal of villains from all organizations. She reveals she's a DEA agent at one point to Hugh Jackman. He's like, okay, got it. And then later they're like, well, there's no record of a Ginger such and such. And I was like, do you think she was going by her own name in her undercover mission with the most dangerous terrorist in the world? She's just using her DEA agent name?
Well, again, there's a lot of fucking questions here. because
and very looks, few answers.
Yeah, I mean, it also looks like John Travolta has access to the face-off technology in this movie because he has the same face as the guy, but at the end when we see him with the blonde tips, he has kept the face. So I go, huh.
Wait, that was never explained.
Remember when...
Okay, so again, I watched this at a very low brightness.
Okay,
when Hugh Jackman sees that face on the ground.
Yes.
Yeah, in the
like
wine
the
cellar.
Kitchen or something. Yeah, in the wine cellar. Was that John Travolta's face?
Yes.
Yes.
Who was that?
That was the Mossad agent who they identify in the burn, the helicopter burn. Remember? So the presumption, I'm assuming, is that John Travolta has had plastic surgery to look like the Mossad agent they're going to use as the corpse in the misdirect of the helicopter, and that that body's being kept in the chili wine cellar so that it doesn't yet decompose. Kaboom!
And
that's the actual plot of the movie.
And Halle Berry is working for him, but duping Hugh Jackman so he would be working for them. Basically.
Now, when I saw the Travolta in the thing, the Travolta corpse, I was like, oh no. Are they prestiging us?
That's what I thought.
I was like,
what is going on here?
I was like, are we going to prestige this movie? Hugh Jackman was in The Prestige. You can't do this twice. You can't have twin brothers, spoilers for The Prestige. Twin brothers did it in The Prestige.
Bullshit, Hollywood. Again. Twin brothers, bullshit. If I was there, I would have done triplets.
So why did that guy die? That version of John Travolta die?
I think Travolta killed him so that he would have a corpse.
And don't say that version of John Travolta. He is another man.
He
is a villain. He is a villain, and John Travolta has just assumed his identity for this mission.
And he says
at one point, you know how many times I've changed my identity, which made me go, are you getting plastic surgery that many times too?
I wondered that as well. I kind of was like, in that scene where he shows up in a beret.
Oh, I wrote down beret.
I was like, I guarantee this is his personal beret.
100
And he showed up on set wearing it, and they're like, and he's like, no, I'm wearing this in this scene.
I wear the beret when I fly my helicopter.
When he shows up and has that conversation with Sam Shepard, who's fly fishing, I was like, what is this history that they share? I kind of am more interested in that movie.
But also, oh, go ahead.
I'm trying to figure out, why was Halle Berry mic'd? Why was Ginger...
That was a misdirect.
Yes,
another
that was...
Because
she is really working with John Travolta. She only was trying to seduce Hugh Jackman or let him believe that she was in danger so he would do the work.
Yeah. Oh, but...
Just like Houdini in the
Ovens. Yeah, I loved the Houdini line. I was like, oh, no.
By the way, there's another thing in here, too. Like, there's another story that he says in this movie where he goes, I guess he says, Thomas Jefferson shot a man on the White House lawn for treason. That is not true. And this movie is the main source of that rumor. Again, you can find real things.
Hey, everybody. Hold that thought. We'll be right back after this commercial break.
Hey, everyone. I'm Bag Lady Erin Gibson.
And if you're shopping, I'm Brian Safi.
And we're the co-hosts of Throwing Shade and excited to announce we're releasing new episodes of our other podcast,
Groceries. It's exactly what it sounds like. Dedicated to it all. The carts, the specials, the products, and the history of the places we all buy food.
Now you can listen to the first season for free on the Throwing Shade feed.
And the new episodes of season 2 on Stitcher Premium.
Groceries is out now. Find us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, or wherever you listen.
And now back to our show.
The scene where Hugh Jackman has 1 minute to hack the DOD while getting a blowjob while a gun is at his head is
all right.
Kind of a wild ride.
I want to talk about the scene. I want to break it down bit by bit. First of all, if you're having a movie like this, every movie that we kind of see, the bad guys hang out in some sort of industrial complex, ravey slash Nobu, like high-end Japanese restaurant. They all are there, and this place is like rave, 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 then long table. Okay, and there's a moment in there where one of the bad guys, when Hugh Jackman comes in, closes the curtain, but the curtain is clear.
So you can fully see through the curtain. And they seem to be closing the curtain so that they can have him be blown.
Okay.
No, wait a second. Was that blowjob supposed to help him or hinder him in this process?
Great question. Great question.
I couldn't quite tell if they were like, "This is, we're going to throw this at you and you have to do it despite this," or we're gonna sort of help you get to a creative, like orgasmic frenzy.
This will get you in the zone.
Yes.
Because
like you'll become like stated and figure out.
I feel like this is the kind of movie that this script went around town, and this scene, everybody was like, "Dude, you gotta read this scene. It's fucking awesome."
But
the dude has to hack. Well, Vinnie Jones is pointing a gun at him, and this chick is giving him a blowjob, and it's fucking nuts.
But the crazy thing about it, and when you think about it, it makes no sense, because it's like they were like, "Oh, how about we just put a gun to his head and make him hack?" There is something there. They don't ever set the stakes of the situation. She starts blowing him. He puts the gun to his head, and he's like, "You got 60 seconds." To what end? What? Like, why? Like, give me the scenario of what's happening. I'm gonna get killed. Why? You just brought me here for a meeting. I'm getting a blowjob. Is it to distract me? Is it to help me? We don't know. We don't know what is happening at all.
And at first, the guy behind him there holds his arms back. And I was like, oh, they're going to, like, beat him up or something. They're going to, like... And it was simply so that he wouldn't try and resist the blowjob.
And before the blowjob, the woman who performs the action does a shot of tequila and then kisses him and shoots it into his mouth.
I didn't like that. I didn't like that at all.
It was just disappointing because, by the way, like, Halle Berry is amazing and I love her. There's not another woman to be found in this movie.
No.
There's not like a bank teller or just like another bad person who's related somehow to this. There's just no women in the movie except for...
The porn mom.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. And the porn mom and the woman who gives the blowjob in the beginning.
And this woman doesn't have a line. It's like, "Do your thing." And then at one point she's like, "You want to get wet?" Like, that's her other line when they're at the party.
By the way, no. The answer is always and forever going to be no. I don't want to get, quote, wet,
but
stranger.
I do think that from what I watched, in the end, did help him.
Sorry, will you bet? Why is he holding the cigarette like that? Look at how he's holding the cigarette.
John Travolta.
Who holds a cigarette like it's a pencil? Like, I'm going to write with this and smoke it. What?
He's holding it like a wand. Now,
like he's going to be like it's a magic wand?
Yeah.
Expecto Patronus.
And then all of a sudden, like, an antelope comes out. Here's what I'll say, and I know it's easy, and we've done it even on here on the show to make fun of hacking in movies, but let's talk about Hugh Jackman's sloppy-ass hand. He's, like, hitting it like a horse touching a computer. He's like, blah, 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 blah. Oh, well, that's the second thing where he's like, this scene when
the
he is...
The claps were so terrible.
Just listen, if you're at home, to his hands and watch them. All right, they're not, this is not what, how human people do. All right, here we go.
Oh, she's good, isn't she?
Here it goes. There's
more time. Come on, Stan.
He's like a blind piano player.
Halle Berry's top matches the walls.
Oh. Oh, you're right, June. He does clap in here, too.
Oh, yeah.
He really claps himself up. He's
basically
typing,
hitting the home keys over and over again.
He's typing so, like, it's not even typing. It's like, it's like, I don't get it. And then at one point, he goes, it's weird. I just see the code. No, you don't. That's not a thing. You don't have, like, a psychic bond with code.
All of the best, though, is the hacking scene when they introduce him to the hacking computer and he basically is like, oh, fuck. And you're like, dude, it's a computer. Like, it's a computer. She's like, this isn't just a computer with multiple screens. It's on 7 different networks. Okay, cool. I'm sure for the time, very powerful computer. But then all he does is go clickety-clackety, clickety-clackety. And the representation of the internet, once again, is pathologically insane.
I mean,
they cut to images on the screen that are not the internet, then fiber optic cables, 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 cables. As if you're watching what he's typing move.
He's basically putting together a giant Rubik's Cube that's locking in a weird pyramid. And it's like, nailed it, got it, got all 9 pieces.
I loved one time he's like clacking, clacking. He goes, oh, yeah, 3, 2, oh, clacking, clacking, clacking.
Here, I got it.
He doesn't get it.
I'm gonna play the scene. It may be too visual, but fuck it. Here we go.
Lazy. Oh, don't. No. No, no, no. Yes. Stand, please, please. Oh, fuck. Well, I'm fucked. No, no, no. Fuck you. Shit, that's a fucking boy.
He has.
Quick, quick, quick. Thank you. Return.
Jackman interacts with a computer as if he's never seen a computer and someone just told him what it could do. He's like, oh, cool, cool.
And the other problem is like, it's Hugh Jackman. Like, he doesn't belong in front of these computers. Like, he just doesn't. And that's no disrespect to professional hackers or people who like to spend a lot of time in front of computers. It's just he's got an insane body. And he's Hugh Jackman. Like, he's not doing that in any way.
You mean he's not doing more of this?
3, 2, 1, go. Come on, come on. Yeah.
He's playing it like Jerry Lee Lewis plays the piano.
I feel like that was the direction. You know, like, it's like a piano, and you're giving a concert, you know, and you're loving it. I felt like the director was in the background being like, you're loving it! You're loving it! It's so good! It's so good! And he's like, ha-ha, 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 ha-ha! It's so...
Here we go. Oh, baby.
Dancing. Dancing. Now that's the Hugh Jackman we know. That's the greatest showman and hacker.
The saddest thing is they put that little earring on him.
A tiny little
earring on him.
He's a hacker now. And they like to do a lot of extreme hacking in this movie. It's like, hack while we hang Halle Berry. It's like, oh, he can do it. Why do we need to always put him in an extreme circumstance? Okay, when Halle Berry and him are in the Nobu restaurant, that's not Nobu, the gangster's hideaway, they both go into the bathroom because he's like, just got his dick blown. He got almost killed. And they go, he goes
successfully did the hack.
And he needs to put water on his face because that's what we all do. And I know that people have written me that, yes, there's some scientific guy, blah, blah, blah. So
They have?
Yes.
People have written you to tell you that?
Yes.
Guys,
there's a science.
Don't write us to tell us anything.
So when they're in the bathroom talking, 2 dudes enter because they're part of the club, not the Nobu restaurant. And Hugh Jackman grabs Halle Berry and they start making out. And I'm like, to what end are you doing that? Because
why can't they just be two people talking?
Yeah, like that's the thing like that you do in movies where it's like, well, quick, we gotta hide. And they start, you know, like it's like, but they kiss. No one would be like, why is she in here? Like it wouldn't be.
It would appear as though you had come into two people having a conversation. They could have just been like, oh,
yeah.
They're like, the idea that they would be there is itself not insane.
No, not at all.
And then the guys are like, oh, yeah. And then they're like, we got to get out of here because we can't see people kissing.
Now, listen, I was very into the chemistry between Hugh Jackman and Halle Berry.
Agree.
Yes. I mean, I feel like they, what?
I was very into it.
Yeah. I feel like she, I mean, this is Halle Berry right after the Academy Award. Am I right on that?
It's like, is it after or?
Before. Okay, before. Yeah, sorry.
Front row says before.
Oh, right. Catwoman is right after. Sorry. I knew there was one real step in the mud right after. It was Catwoman.
She does. I noticed early on in the movie, she calls him his name, Stan, every sentence.
Oh, yeah.
Like, there's not an exchange they have where she doesn't say Stan.
She does say Stan a lot.
Doesn't it seem as though they know each other? Like,
yes.
If this person, A, entered my property, came up to me while I was wearing a loincloth, and I acted as unfazed as him, I would be like, that's irresponsible. Even if Halle Berry was in my kitchen wearing this outfit, I'd be like, beep, boop, beep, boop, beep, boop, beep. Hello, police? Someone I don't know is in my kitchen.
Jason.
She is beautiful, but like, I'm also in a loincloth.
Jason.
And I don't feel safe.
Once you commit a crime, the police don't answer your calls anymore. You are persona non grata.
Are we going to discuss the three men rolling down a hill for 15 minutes?
Okay.
That sequence?
The scene in which we should have watched three people die, but instead watched three people fall down a cliff and then...
No, they don't dust themselves off. They get up and they are clean. They go down a fucking, like, dust hill. Yeah. They have no...
by the way, to call it a hill, it's not a
hill. Cliff. It's a cliff.
It's like a Malibu cliff.
Yes.
Into the Pacific Coast Highway.
Yes. He looks down the cliff, like straight down to the beach, and jumps. And I'm like, oh shit, this guy's gonna die.
And then the FBI agent goes, yep, me too. And then the third one's like, all right. They all jump straight down a cliff.
Meanwhile, the third FBI guy just drives around
and
meets them at the bottom. Hey,
Crinkly.
Guess what, everybody? Get in the car and drive down. You don't have to commit suicide.
They roughly got there at the exact same time. Take a look. This is, again, maybe more visual, but it's so great because...
This is hilarious.
The craziest thing is that they don't ever come up for air. Like, you never see their faces during this ride down the cliff because that's how fast they're going.
Yeah.
It's a minute of falling.
Yes. I remember... Oh. That is straight down.
And when the third guy jumps, he's like, shit. And he goes. Still falling. Still falling. And then gets on his feet to take off and run. They almost all do. And busted by the car. I, like the rest of America, fell in love with Mission Impossible Fallout. Chris McQuarrie coming up with all these amazing stunts. Who ever thought, like, well, then we'll have this sequence where they just roll down a hill. There is nothing. That is a, like,
nothing
that is a
happens.
Legit comical sequence.
They don't, like, grab onto anything. There's no fighting as they're falling. It's just three grown men
and
falling down a hill for a very long time.
Falling down a steep cliff.
Very steep cliff.
And not one of them are hurt at all.
Not or one of them dusty. Have,
not one of them are even, honestly, scuffed up at all. Like the only
Hugh Jackman's
person,
jacket rips in the shoulder a little.
Look at how clean he is already. The only person who's bleeding in this scene is the guy who got elbowed in the nose earlier. That's it.
And just to reiterate, it is a mountain of dust and dirt. It is
and rocks.
And rocks. But it's like, I just want to go back and just go, when you're coming up, like, we'll do this amazing explosion, we'll spend $90,000 on it. All right, what else can we do? Nothing. Okay, huh.
You know
can
what?
Can they fall for a minute? Sure, we could do that. I mean, it's technically cheap to do.
I know a couple of stunt guys that would love to give it a try to just, like, fall straight for a minute.
But, it's like, there's nothing. Like, you don't go out of there and be like, that movie was fucking great. When those guys fell down the hill for a minute? Like, here's how I'll even say that this is, like, if it was Tom Cruise doing his own stunt, I would be like, okay, sure. I mean, it seems like he got a little lazy.
The fact that they are all able to fall for a continuous minute, but then land on their feet and continue running, is that they need no recovery time from a full minute of catastrophic tumbling.
There's no way. There's so many ways they could have been killed on that cliff.
They must have hit 1,000 rocks.
1,000 rocks, and rocks that are, like, not pebbles, but just, like, jagged terrain.
Guys.
Like, jagged, dry terrain. Their heads would have been split open, shoulders broken.
Oh, yeah.
Necks broken.
Guys.
Legs and arms, all of their extremities would be broken.
Okay, yeah. And I'll go, and I'll say one step further. Sure, that's the reality of it. But how about even a sprained ankle? Give me something. You're going to tell me you don't even get a sprained ankle there?
Yeah.
You don't hurt your hand? You don't hurt any, like,
none of them do.
No.
None of them are hurt. They and like if you continue here in the like if you go can you go forward right now? No, okay. They are all so clean. They are all like as the scene continues, they are all fully as if they got new wardrobe, new makeup done. They're not there's no dust in their hair.
They're literally they're at certain points obscured by dust.
Yeah.
And yet they are, how is this guy clean?
And nobody even needs to take, like, a mental break for a second to just process, like, whoa, guys. All three of us just fell down a hill for a sustained, like, period of time.
And the payoff.
That's crazy.
And the payoff is so good, too, because Don Cheadle's like, why did you do that? And he's like, aren't you going to arrest me? And he's like, no. So then you have to ask Don Cheadle,
why did you do that? Why would you have gone?
If you're not going to arrest him, let him die. Let him fall to his death.
Don Cheadle's character is playing three-dimensional chess here because when he goes to talk to the guy who's only speaking in, like, Dutch.
Finnish.
They're like, you can't break him. Don Cheadle comes in and is like, tell me about him. The guy's like, okay. So, he's kind of a crazy guy. Like, I was like, that's it? Like, they didn't do anything? Like, he just tosses his lawyer out of the door. He roughs up the lawyer, and the guy's like, okay, I'll tell you. And when he does talk about that guy, you know, I kind of felt like Travolta is a very interesting guy. And Avril Haley, our person who pulls all of our clips, thought that maybe it would be funny to combine John Travolta and the most interesting man in the world in this new clip. Here we go.
His charm is so contagious, vaccines have been created for it. Years ago, he built a city out of blocks. Today, over 600,000 people live and work there. He is the only man to ever ace a Rorschach test.
Look at how wide the tide is!
Every time he goes for a swim, dolphins appear. Alien abductors have asked him to probe them. If he were to give you directions, you'd never get lost, and you'd arrive at least 5 minutes early. His legend precedes him. His blood smells like cologne. He is the most interesting man in the world.
I don't always drink beer, but when I do, I prefer Dos Equis.
And then he literally has a Dos Equis in front of him.
I am really taking in that table, Jason, that long conference table, oh, yeah. Really.
And it's like he's walking through. I love the double spin out of a car in Los Angeles that is a left side driver. Why? Don't know. I have a lot of thoughts about the car chase and how that is even happening. because the car, he's standing, shooting a gun. The car continues to go forward. Nobody's feet are on the pedals. It doesn't matter. In this, he gets out. He walks through the bar, and he's like, whispers to one of the women. One of the other women whispers to one of the other women. And I can only imagine they're like, come on, we got to go back and do that blowjob gun thing. Oh, come to the back table. Gabriel wants us to go to the back table. I have to blow this guy for a hacking test. Ugh. But there's going to be sushi and tequila. Okay.
But I gotta spit some of my shot into somebody else's mouth.
But there's a pool party later.
And by the way, this whole movie takes place in 4 days. That's the other thing that we... and there's so many things.
Within that 4 days, he goes to Oregon to kill Sam Shepard.
And he doesn't do it, like, neatly. Because, like, you think, like, the idea is, like, he's, like, killing all these people. He kills Sam Shepard with a bullet. So someone's gonna find Sam Shepard in waiters... And, like, dead shot. Like, why don't they just drown him? And then the other guy from the OC, why don't they blow his car up in such an aggressive manner? It's like, guys, you could just do this way more simply.
No, they go big. These guys go big.
I also love the teacher when the little girl's at school. She's like, hey, little girl, is your mom late again? She's like, yeah. And then she goes, okay, and then leaves.
No further questions.
Peace, I'm out. I teach till 2:30 and then suck it. You can suck my teach. No, I don't know. I didn't even know what I said there.
Is that a thing, suck my teach?
No, it isn't. I wanted to do something and it all came out different. It's the altitude.
Can we make it a thing, suck
I would
my
like
teach?
To suck my teach.
Is that, that's, I mean, it might be a t-shirt. I'm just not sure what the image is. Yeah, that scene where she's listening, everybody's got a Walkman, everybody's got music where she's listening to, on the, what's it called, whatever that spinner thing is. She's listening to her thing. She's got a cell phone. She calls her mom. Her mom is straight up passed out in the porn palace. And you're like, oh no, her dad is like, hey, you need a ride? And she... He knows immediately it's him. She hasn't seen him in years, and she's young.
And she loves him, and yet they've not talked in 2 years.
In at least 2 years.
Yeah, they have a very strong connection. It's a very much an Ant-Man relationship in this movie.
That's
the
true.
The hacker and his daughter, and they have a special connection, except no miniaturization.
Yeah, I wish. I think it's more vis-a-vis Travolta maximalization.
Wait, so I just realized something. Halle Berry in on it the entire time. Does that mean that she was just hanging out in his bedroom or her bedroom, unclear, waiting for him to like walk in and creep on him? Like,
that's so what I was saying. Why was she standing there with a wire on?
Yeah, that was the plan.
I mean, that is a roundabout way.
And you know, and I read an article where she was interviewed about it, and she said she made up her mind that she'd been waiting for 10 hours for him. No, I'm kidding. The look on June's face just now, for everybody in Denver, it was great. For everybody listening, I'm so sorry for you, because that was phenomenal. My character's secret is I was waiting for 10 hours. Just waiting for him to have some reason to barge into her room, which he simply wouldn't do.
I was fascinated by Don Cheadle's character, because he plays like this tough cop who, you know, doesn't abide by the rules and hates lawyers. But he's dealing in the world of cybercrime, which seems to be like a specific type of...
You're not out there busting heads.
Yeah, well, his story is that he shot a guy in the hand.
Why?
Because he was a hacker.
Oh, so that you're saying he shot his, like,
He shot his hacking hand, I think, right?
That's
gotta be what that is.
Yes.
I didn't realize
like,
that.
He's like, and you know what? I just lost my mind, and I shot a guy in the hand. What? Who cares? I thought he said head, and I was like, okay, cool. I like that they let you continue at your job, that you killed someone. No, he shot a hacker in the hand. This movie posits a world in which hackers are the most dangerous terrorists in the world.
Drop the computer. Drop the computer or I'll shoot you in the hand. It's like, as if that was the only way to stop the hacking.
Yes.
Oh! We saved it. We saved the nuclear weapons.
We're going to take one more break, and then we'll be right back with the show. All right. Now, back to the show.
Let's go out into the crowd and see what you guys have to say. All right. The password is swordfish. All right. We have a gentleman over here.
That guy, Paul, I'm nervous about that guy. The double hand wave very concerning.
All right, don't approach me too fast. I have to work up to it. Okay, yeah. All right, here we go.
Paul, before you go, I just want to say there seems to be an instance where people are leaping to their feet at Paul.
Yes.
You don't have to do that.
Yeah.
You can
let
just raise...
Let Paul find you.
I trust my sense of who feels safe.
Just keep in mind, Paul, it's the late show. So these are stone cold monsters.
All right.
Paul, be careful.
Paul, do we need a safe word?
Swordfish.
Swordfish? Got it.
Sir, your name and your question.
My name is Dylan. I'm confused that we made it this far without talking about Halle Berry's boobs. At 38 minutes into this movie, the only reason I watch it at 11 years old, the only reason I think maybe half the people watch Swordfish on VHS.
Well, yeah, wasn't that a big thing that this was like, she was paid a lot of money to show her boobs in this movie, right?
She said that she did this part to get over the fear of doing nudity in movies, and then she also got like $50,000 extra to do it.
Oh, $50,000 is not enough.
A lot of people are saying $500,000.
$500,000, sorry.
Oh, okay, everybody, we get it. $500,000.
And that $500,000 should have gone to a stunt, but then they did rolling down the side of the hill. By the way, we talked about the other hacker. I guess John Travolta's plan was to bring two hackers and maybe have a blowjob off.
I assumed they only went to Hugh Jackman because they had to kill the first guy.
No, because they have the airport security footage.
They were there the same day.
Same day.
Oh.
That's why the timeline's a little fucked.
Was there going to be a hack-off?
Yes. And I think one was going to get a blowjob and one was going to get the gun to the head. And they're like, but I wanted to do both. They're like, well, we'll combine them.
Like a Reese's Peanut Butter Cup.
Yeah. You got your blowjob in my gun play.
Yep. You got my gunplay into your blowjob. Two great things that go great together.
All right, hi, your name and your question.
Hi, Katie. So earlier in the movie, in the scene where Don Cheadle and his FBI crew are talking about Hugh Jackman's character, on the screen it says social security numbers none. And then later the bank calls, lists his social security number back to him, and he says, yeah.
I did not get that.
I didn't
either. Watching it.
Katie, you need to watch these movies less closely. Like, focus on other things in life. You're paying actually too much attention, and I'm concerned.
All right, your name, your question.
Okay, my name is Carla, and I don't know, the whole John Travolta, back to that thing, I don't know what it was. It made me angry, but it kept moving the whole time. So like part of it was like there's a scene where it's like offset and it's like right to the left or to the right of it, and the whole movie it just kept moving.
His soul patch?
The colors, yes, it kept changing colors.
Oh. And then
you were also on mushrooms when
I was gonna say
movie, right?
I was gonna ask if you were on acid when you watched it.
It didn't start speaking to you, did it?
And it was a caterpillar, man. A
and it smiled at me and it said, "Hey, dude, Carla, get ready. This movie's getting wild."
All right, I'm up here in the balcony now.
Catch
with the
your
balcony
breath.
Monsters.
Catch your breath, Paul. Catch your breath.
All right, here we go. Sir, your name, your question, what do you got?
My name is Vince. It's a two-part question. My part of it.
A
is
two-part question catch... from the balcony?
I also
This is... We're in dangerous territory.
I paid terrible money for these.
It seems that nobody in the balcony is standing up for their questions.
By the way, I'm going to allow a two-part question because I still haven't caught my breath. So here we go.
How would you catch a real hacker, and how would you catch a hacker from the movie?
What do you mean, man? Hey, Vince.
Just ask
hey,
your
Vince.
Question.
Hey, Vince. You know
what are you walking us into? Just ask your question.
It's a two-part question.
That was it? How would you catch
a
hacker?
Be...
And how would you catch a hacker in this movie?
All right.
Those are the two parts?
All right, all right. I have to get out of this section.
Paul, what are we doing? Vince, we wouldn't catch hackers. We wouldn't catch hackers in this movie. We're comedians. We're podcasting. This is a podcast. Vince, I know you're in the balcony, baby, but we're not part of the movie. We're not trying to catch hackers.
Uh-oh. I have a hug. I have a hug.
That
right,
is
here we go.
Right there, classic balcony. Vince, meanwhile, sat down. Wait, you guys can't see. Meanwhile, sat down and picked up a can of beer the size of his head and was like, I see you, Vince.
By the way, can we talk about the end in the sense that it works? Like he is a... good guy who does bad things, he gets away with it, and guess what? It works. He was able to kill that guy on the yacht.
He killed
bingo,
three
bango.
Terrorist guys. That right, that was the big switch, was that he's working, he's part of the government, or working with the government,
yeah,
and wants to steal the money to finance killing terrorists. Because the government can't themselves do it, so he has to do it on his own.
So is he ultimately doing a good thing?
I think we're meant to believe yes.
Wow.
Even though the answer is unequivocally no.
Basically the government goes like this. We can't do this.
Right.
So we will give you autonomy to do this. And
with through the Cube Project. What was it called? Black Cube?
Sure. And swordfish.
Wait,
yeah.
Do you not feel safe right now? That was the safe word.
That was. But
do you
was,
not feel safe?
It is also this. But that, so that's the whole plan, is that he is a good guy being that does bad things. But I wanted to bring up, when we were talking about the plan, and I'll go back to the audience for a second. But
really?
I want one more.
You're going to go back to the audience?
I would not.
They are... This is a late show audience. I'm gonna say this, like, I'm gonna tell you what's up, Denver. This is some wild shit. For the late show, the balcony, Vince, I'm concerned, bro.
But there was a point in the movie, and we rewatched it twice, where Travolta explains why they need to break into that bank, and it makes no sense. It's like Star Trek level gobbledygook. He's like, we need to be somewhere where we can piggyback on the branch of a bank that is connected to the mainframe, like
where the money is. So the because they're transferring.
But isn't hacking the whole idea that you don't need to be anywhere near anything?
I agree.
Yeah, that's hacking.
It's a mobile. You know,
right. It wouldn't be
pursuit.
Like. Yeah, we have to. Like, if you want to hack the NSA, you don't have to be inside the NSA.
Or do you?
And also, this is a bank where their computer wires are out right in the main lobby. It's like, flunk, flunk, flunk. They just pull out the computer wires, 1, 2, 3.
Also, when he's testing Hugh Jackman, he's like, this hack should take an hour. I need you to do it in a minute, right?
Yeah.
Which to me means later in the movie, when they get to the most important hack Hugh Jackman has to make, it must be done in under a minute, right?
Right.
Nope, got all the time in the world. All the time, we'll be back here loading up these people with dog collars and C4 and ball bearings. Don't you worry. You just hack away, bro. Why did it? need to be timed. I also love that he was Wired Magazine's, what was it?
Most dangerous man.
Hacker. 1999 Most Dangerous Man. That the guys who were very obviously the lone gunmen from the X-Files.
Well, like, I know
okay,
that...
relax.
I know that one of them's a nerd because he wears a fishing hat.
Yeah, he's repeatedly wearing a fishing hat and a sweater vest. Like, that's, no offense, a hacker. Yeah.
He looked like a hacker to me.
Who do you think would have been better? Because I know who they went to first before Hugh Jackman.
Nick Cage. Done.
June?
Gosh. I don't know. I mean, I picture like a Christian Slater-esque.
Yeah, because
I don't mind that.
Yeah. John Cusack and Val Kilmer.
John Cusack.
Oh. I'm into it.
John Cusack would be great.
Wait, in which roles? Oh, they were both offered
Stanley.
Hugh Jackman. I'm
yes.
sorry. I get it now.
The person who turned down the part of John Travolta's character was John Travolta. John Travolta turned down the part of Gabriel 6 times, and he changed his mind after hearing the director's take on it. So I don't know what the take was.
I feel like the director's take was, you get to wear all your own clothes.
He was like, I'm feeling this character, but can I wear the beret? And everybody else said no. Also, one of the fun side notes I found was that Travolta and Jackman both would sing show tunes in between scenes, and Oklahoma was their favorite go-to. So you're directing this like very, like, you know, Joel Silver 90s, like, action movie, and they're like, Oklahoma, where the rains go washing on the plain.
I'd love to see the blooper reel of this movie, or not the gag reel, I guess, where they just are always breaking into song. That would be very fun.
I feel
I'd rather
bad
watch that than this.
I left one guy out there. I picked him and I left him out
all
there.
All right, all right.
I'm gonna go one more time to this guy because I felt like I really teased him. I'm gonna get him. I told him I'd come back, sir. I hope it's worth it. I hope it's not balcony material. All right. All right, here we go. All right, you got this. Your name and your question.
All right, my name is Blake. I don't know if this is why Travolta took the role or how they based his character, but I read the entire screenplay.
Oh, wow.
Paul, I'm going to tell you should get away.
It's time to go.
Well, Paul, research.
Swordfish.
So,
Paul, swordfish.
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 Opening scene in the Starbucks coffee house. 3 men sit and drink coffee. Stanley, Hugh Jackman, is in his early 30s. Roberts, Cheadle, 40s, both wear suits. The younger is fairly expensive. The others is polyester, enough said. The man across, Travolta, however, is quite different. He is what they used to call a cool cat.
Fuck yeah, you know that was a great question.
You did it. I didn't believe you could do it, and you did it. Well done.
All right. well, let's see here. Obviously, we have opinions about this movie, right? But there are people out there with a different opinion. It is now time for second opinions.
5 stars.
That's my film review, I give.
5 stars.
You thought this movie blew, I give.
5 stars.
That's my second opinion on Amazon.
Dennis, Cullen,
and Craig.
Well done. Well done.
Well done. Let's get into it. 5-star reviews on Amazon, not many. This one is written by Carol, and it was written as in 2014, so recently, in the grand scheme of Swordfish being released to reviews.
What year did Swordfish come out?
Swordfish came out in the year of our Lord... let's see.
2001?
2001.
Thank you, 2001.
Oh, where are my notes?
11?
No, it came out on 9/11. It did.
Guys, I'm going to ask you to stop shouting 9/11 at us. Like, I'm actually going to beg you to stop shouting 9/11 at us.
All right. All right, so here this is from Carol from 2014, and it goes like this. I chose this rating because from the beginning of the movie, it has twists and turns that you'll never expect. It also gives you something to think about regarding the freedoms that we enjoy in our daily lives. Makes you wonder if something like this could possibly be true and happening right now. John Travolta is an amazing actor with many faces for us to enjoy. No matter the part he is playing, he always plays the part like it's live and happening right now. Halle Berry is also excellent in this movie. She's a bit of herself on film, but also, like John Travolta, plays the part she was given as if it was her life and is truly happening. Grab some popcorn ahead of time because you won't want to stop watching till it's over. 5 stars. I like that it's happening right now.
Well, and that she suggests earlier that could this be happen? This type of thing be happening right now?
Yeah.
And that all the performances seem as though they are happening right now. I believe Carol thinks she watched a documentary.
Well, it also seems like when she watches TV, she thinks like, oh, these events are unfolding in real time.
Like, yes.
Even if she's seen the movie before, when she puts it on, it's happening
right now. It's like a live event. It's like those musicals
right
like Jesus Christ Superstar or the
yes.
Sound of Music. All right. This one is an odd one from Hactic Birdston. And this is written on 2015. Twister. Suspenseful. Travolta style. Password fish. Ginger. Spices. 5 stars. And it was written like poetry. Steven Taylor in 2017 wrote, love this moving. I guess it was movie. Love this movie, but he wrote moving. Different twist for the ending was refreshing, and Mrs. Berry is sensational. And finally, J.K. Page. This movie is so good, and it is so cool. In fact, it is the epitome of cool. It is great right from the beginning. Travolta's monologue is great. It is said at the beginning of the movies that they're all in a moral dilemma. A bad guy can't win. But then Travolta gets away with everything, but that gets you thinking. Then if the bad guy can't win, is he really the bad guy? I don't think he is. He's protecting the U.S. This movie also has great special effects. The 360 panorama explosion is the best explosion ever in a movie. The plot is good, and the finale is just so cool. It's unbelievable. The music is good, too. I've pre-ordered my copy already. Anyone who does not like this movie obviously can't understand great cinema, even when it hits them in the face. Questions? Send them to me at solidsnake552@aol.com.
I love the idea that this guy's just answering questions about swordfish.
Jason, June.
No.
We know, Jason, where you stand. June, would you recommend this movie?
No.
Okay. I would recommend this movie for pieces. The rolling down the hill is pretty great.
I would, if you wanna, if you're listening to this episode and you haven't watched it, I would maybe watch, it's on Netflix, I think.
Yes, is it how is.
So if you are a Netflix subscriber, watch it for the scenes that sounded like fun.
Yeah, the flying bus, the blowfish, the blowjob scene, the car chase. There's a hand and the rolling down the hill.
Oh, we didn't even talk about the car chase.
Oh,
where
yeah.
he, it doesn't matter though, who cares?
anything you guys want to plug?
I guess just vote in the midterms for everyone listening who's out there.
Yeah, I'll second that. Get out there, get voting, everybody. Come on.
You know, and I'm a little bit more youthful than these two, so I'll just say, rock the vote. You know, like we like rock and roll music.
You're still an MTV VJ, right?
I mean, we got some great stuff coming up. The new kids are going to be in here in a little bit.
The new kids?
Yeah.
New Kids on the Block?
No, no. These are just the new kids. I don't even know what they're making, but, you know, we got that guy, what is it, Travis Bird? He'll be here, right? Travis Scott? Yeah, he'll be here.
Did you just call Travis Scott Travis Bird?
Travis Birdman.
Like he's Birdman. Like he's a bird scooter?
He's a, you know, like a, yeah, you know. And so anyway, we're loving Lyfts. We're loving Ubers. We're rocking the vote. And we're drinking our craft beer and having a lot of fun, you know. It's like, hey, you know, it's, you know, look.
Are you okay?
College is rough, you know. It's cool to live with your folks. Anyway, people, check it out. Let's have fun. Enjoy it. You know, the revolution is now. Wonder Woman 84 coming up. A big thank you to the Paramount Theater in Denver, Colorado. The reason why you're hearing this right now is for our friend Mike Henderson in the tech booth who came out here tonight to record the show. And thank you for everyone who came from far away or from close by to come here tonight. We felt so loved, and the fact to do two shows in this tremendous theater, it just blows us away. So thank you, thank you, thank you. We will be back again.
Thanks, everybody, for listening to the long-awaited Swordfish episode. I hope it was everything that you wanted it to be. Just a reminder that I am on a brand new Star Trek show. That's right, a dream come true. It's called Star Trek Lower Decks. It is available on CBS All Access. Jason Mantzoukas is on a brand new show on HBO Max created by J.J. Quintel. It is called Close Enough. And June is running an amazing deal right now on her workspace, the Jane Club. You can go there right now and you can sign up for their digital Jane membership, which is absolutely amazing. Head on over to thejaneclub.com. And if you want to see Jason, June, and myself all raising money for charity, you can do that by visiting my YouTube page. Just go to Paul Scheer on YouTube. And we raised over $9,000 for Color of Change. It was Rob Hubel and I hosted this night of just bits and dumb stuff. It's actually a really fun thing that's still up. You can go and visit it on Tiltify. That's where you can donate. You can watch it on YouTube. It's about 3 hours long. So much fun. Definitely check that out. And if you like Twitch, I'm getting on Twitch. I'm going to get on Twitch. I'm going to figure it out. I've been playing around. I've been watching it. So I'm launching my Twitch pretty soon. Get on it. You can follow me at Paul Scheer, just at Paul Scheer. It's simple. You can find me right there. A big thank you to Avril Halley for finding our movies. She is an amazing producer. Our producer, Cody, for putting this whole thing together. She is the mastermind. We bow down to Cody, our amazing audio engineer, Devin, who, to be fair, was not responsible for this recording. He's responsible for this right now, so don't blame him for any issues with the live Denver show. We've now brought him on the road. Everything sounds crystal clear. Nate Kiley for doing all of our research. He is absolutely amazing. All of our artwork from the ghost of Craig T. Nelson to also Kyle Waldron. So many people make this show all come together, and I couldn't do it without Molly. Molly is my assistant, but also just keeps everything on track. So thank you, Molly Reynolds. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Make sure you head on over to tpublic.com to get the latest and How Did This Get Made swag. We have an amazing Clarissa shirt that can be made into a mug. It's awesome. And we will see you next week for a mini episode where you can call in and ask me questions about your life, your love, your job, whatever it is. And we can still talk about this movie, Swordfish. Normally, Jason and I get on there and we talk about what we're watching too. So the mini episode, don't miss it. You can call me at 619-PAULASK. That's 619-PAUL-ASK. We'll see you next week for a mini episode where you can tell us all the things that we got wrong in today's episode. Bye for now.
We're back. I'm Drew McGarry.
And I'm David Roth.
We have a podcast going on right now as part of the Stitcher Network called The Distraction. That's available everywhere you get your podcast at Stitcher, Spotify, Apple. Go listen right now to The Distraction. Right now. It's out.
Do it, please.